What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It started with Andy Slater, then Jordan Schultz had, now Mary Kay Cabot having it as well. Browns rookie running back Quinshon Judkins will not face any formal charges from the alleged incident in South Florida. Prosecutors have declined to move forward with the case. And I know that this then opens up a whole nother bit of conversation. This is unlikely to stop the NFL from pursuing potential suspension for Quinshon Judkins, although Mary Kay Cabot reporting the NFL and Browns also conducting their own investigation. So suspension still is on the table. And in terms of guilty, not guilty, just because prosecutors have declined to move forward with the case, that can mean a myriad of things, such as the initial accuser deciding they didn't want to move forward with charges or not willing to participate in supplying evidence on the matter, and everything on from then of they found basically no reason that this actually did happen.
Yeah, so that's the important part to note there, though, is that we've seen so many NFL cases where there's no criminal charges that are pressed and the NFL still comes out and suspends the player. Big Ben, Zeke, Kareem Hunt is another one. Even the Jordan Addison thing last year involving cars. It wasn't even involving anything that is in the framework of Judkins. But the point remains, like if the NFL decides that you did something that is detrimental to the league, they still then have the right to suspend you, and they will.
So with all that, I think the timing with the Quinshon stuff is, when does the NFL wrap up their investigation? If we remember, Mike Hall stuff happened in the middle of August. Everything was wrapped up by, I want to say, oh my gosh, was that the second week of October? And then he missed the middle part of the season?
Yeah, around there.
So I don't know if the conclusion of this being a little earlier than the Mike Hall stuff, if that means we could expect maybe an early season suspension as opposed to the middle part of the suspension. What I will say is, if you're the Browns, I would imagine that's probably actually the better thing, because right now I would be really surprised if Quinshon could get ready to be ready for week one right now going into his rookie year, given how much of camp he's already missed.
Oh, it's interesting about the timing of it too, because you saw Rashee Rice earlier today. Rashee Rice is... he's got four games, right? But it's not in the first four games of the season, it's not in play yet.
Yeah.
And so
he's going to be able to play the first 4 weeks, and then he's got the I think it's week four meeting, September.
And his NFL hearing is on, you're right, September 30th there. And a lot of Chiefs fans today were celebrating that idea, because it's like, I think they play the Giants week three, but outside of that, it's just a gauntlet for three out of the first four games of the season. And they're like, whoa, dodged a bullet there. We're going to have Rashee Rice in play. And we can talk about whether or not that's an okay thing or not, but that's how NFL fans, that's how we look at these type of things. And so with Judkins, the timing of when he'd be back and when the NFL hearing takes place all comes into play. But now that the criminal side of this is just kind of pushed aside and taken care of, it makes it a lot easier for the NFL to then take care of their side.
Well, and again, like it also allows the Browns potentially to sign Quinshon. He's the only remaining second rounder not signed from this last draft class. So that can quickly gain some momentum here. I will tell you, like, I went from Quinshon not being on my radar of guys I'm concerned about to Quinshon now does need to earn my trust.
Sure.
And, yeah. You know, you never know how teams are. I mean, you know, we kind of talked about how Stefanski the other day is like, yeah, we dealt with Miles with this, with the speeding thing. And it's like, okay. You know, like, yeah, I'm sure you've dealt with the Mike Hall Jr. stuff and you've dealt with the Perrion Winfrey stuff. And it's like, when teams say they've dealt with it, it means nothing to me. But like, I don't want to say this is your get out of jail free card with Quinshon, but like, I was so excited. I like Travion Henderson more, and that is not a revisionist take because the great kickoff return that Travion had.
No, I remember that.
But like, this is a situation. This kid should be able to succeed, and this is a great system for running backs. You've got a veteran offensive line in front of you, and you've got an offense that's going to be predicated on running and running a lot. And built off that. This is a great spot for his career. But as a dude, as a man, I now need to see, like, all right, this better never happen again. Because this really, really put me in a situation where it's tough for me to root for this kid until we see something out of him that is counter to what the allegations are and what everything kind of came to fruition.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want to guess on what the NFL will do, but if you made me guess what the NFL will do, I'd make the suggestion he probably still ends up getting a 5 or 6 game suspension anyway. Like, I think a lot of fans are reading this as if it's almost like he's in the clear and everything's fine now and we can just get right back down to business, and it couldn't be further from Quinshon's case.
For a lot of reasons. I do not sleep on the fact that Quinshon missed most of camp. Like, the most important part to actually have a big part of camp being healthy and productive, it's why Dylan's injury matters so much in the quarterback kerfuffle. Same thing with Shador.
Yeah, you got to be available.
Rookie year is the most important year because the jump you're making from pros to the NFL is gigantic. All right? It's a huge gulf that you're trying to bridge. Even if running backs is an easier transition than quarterbacks or wide receivers or, you know, any position where you have to process a lot of information pre or post snap.
And he starts to get a contract signed.
Yeah, well, but like the second that happens, I expect him to, I'm sure he's been working out this whole time, but I don't know. My expectations are, I initially thought there's a perfect spot for this kid. He's going to be gifted a starting job or something close to it. He's going to be able to walk into the NFL, and my initial expectations were he's going to rush for 1,000 yards in his rookie season. Between the amount of camp he's missed and the idea that I would still be shocked if he didn't get suspended,
right?
And if he didn't get suspended for, I think, 6 games, because that seems to be the standard in the NFL, and that's written into the CBA that they can suspend you as much as 6 games, depending on the circumstances. I want to hit the ground running by the middle of the season and take over starting running back somewhere after that if Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson don't. That's where I am now with Quinshon.
No, we see it the same way. It's interesting the amount of people that it feels like online are just not seeing it the exact way that it clearly stated out, that the NFL can do whatever they want in this scenario if they feel like Quinshon was detrimental to the league. And in this case, he definitely was.
Yeah, and it's so... They have changed the conduct policy for the better, actually, has litigated a lot of, or sorry, removed the litigation out of a lot of this stuff. It's written in there, it's coded, it is what it is, and then it's on the NFL to make their decision. And the players have agreed to that because I think the players understood how when it was the wild, wild west, there could be a disproportionate punishment depending on different things, like the indefinite suspension of Ray Rice, which kind of brought the everything mm-hmm. into fruition over a decade ago. But that has turned a lot of these conversations into very robotic, right? Like, not human conversations.
Yeah.
Like, there are humans involved in this scenario. And by the way, it has not made the dialogue on social media any more interesting or better to be around.
It's what's tough, too, is that, like, in this context, in this discussion, we were, in the Rashee Rice incident, for instance, we were trying to talk about, or Chiefs fans were talking about when's the best time for him to come back.
Yeah.
And it just, in this moment, it does feel a little dirty, for being honest.
Well, and by the way,
it is part of our job to try to do these things.
So, I think you and I started, and we had a very, very kind of clinical discussion, because I think that is the best way to have this. But to the human element, to say that I'm disappointed in Quinshon, I think we can stress that enough. And I'm disappointed in the Browns for having this continue to be part of the conversation with them. I understand that my flaw as a human being means that if they win 11 games, the outrage on this is going to be different than if they won 3 games last year. Right now, you won 3 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been an element of this. I think there is a social contract with an organization that if you're going to bring in people who are accused of heinous things, arrested for heinous things, charged with heinous things, if you're going to do that, the least you can do is actually win. But I continue to dial it back to if you're not likable and you don't win, you don't give me a lot to kind of fall back on. And yeah. So this year to me was about let's go back to liking the Browns after the Deshaun fiasco and to a lesser extent the Perrion Winfrey stuff and I mean some of the Miles stuff and some of this that and here we are. This is going to play out to the regular season, and for at least this season, every time Quinshon, and maybe not every time, but when Quinshon touches the ball, it's going to be pretty logical for a lot of Browns fans to think about what this offseason really entailed for
him. Andy Slater had some more details I think are interesting. He says the decision was based on several factors, including late reporting of the alleged incident to police, no surveillance video, and no independent witnesses. The state attorney says there was video seen during the same time frame that didn't show the victim with injuries as well.
So we've got the latest on Quinshon Judkins. He's not being charges are not going forward in Florida. But again, there doesn't have to be charges for right. the NFL to suspend a player. And in credit, since the NFL's put this into the CBA, I'm pretty sure every chance they've had to suspend a player, because this really is, and this is where you can get really cynical if you want to. It's really not about what happened between Quinshon and his accuser. What it really is this is a tax for Quinshon Judkins because the NFL doesn't like the optics.
Yeah, I mean, how many did I name off the top of my head there just thinking about yeah. it, right? It
was, and by the way, Zeke, you were short about
Kareem
30.
Hunt. there's so many you can just go to where that happens, where there's no criminal charges that are played out, and it's just, hey, we feel like this was detrimental to the league. We have to do something about this.
216-474-0092. So Quinshon Judkins, this does clear the way. Here's where, again, path forward. I would be surprised if the Browns and Quinshon Judkins don't get a contract wrapped up in the very near future. I think it would make a lot of sense that he comes back and is part of practice in the very near future. But the wait and see part of this is how quickly can he get ready for the regular season? And how quickly can they help get him ready for the regular season? And then what does the NFL do in regards to punishment? We'll have more on this throughout the show as all the details kind of continue to come in. Again, Quinshon Judkins, charges not going forward in Florida of the domestic violence allegations on him, clearing the way for him to finally sign that Browns contract. Now we wait for the NFL. But Browns-Eagles joint practice earlier today, day 2 in Philly. Who won the practice? Elliot Shore Parks, Eagles reporter for WIP in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Browns-Eagles joint practice 2.0 today. Yesterday, we had Ross Tucker tell us the Browns won the day. All right? He said pretty comfortably, but then maybe said, like, okay, if I had to say it's the Browns, to talk about who won the day, to talk about the rave reviews of the Browns defensive line. I guess we'll talk some Eagles, too. He's the Eagles reporter for WIP. He joins us now on the Fan Hotline. It's Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, welcome to the show.
What's going on? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, you know, another day in the circus here. I'll start with the most important question. Who won practice today, Browns or Eagles?
The Browns won the practice today against the Eagles. Now I thought they lost yesterday, for what it's worth. So I thought the Eagles won yesterday, the Browns won today. But wherever you fall on yesterday's practice, today was much more of a clear victory than yesterday was for the Eagles. I thought the Browns absolutely, you know, destroyed the Eagles for the later part of practice. I had the Browns starting quarterback, which was Joe Flacco, I believe, for all their first team reps, going 9 of 13 with 4 touchdowns, including 3 touchdowns in the final team period. So, look, the Browns are not going to be very good this year, but they were certainly very impressive today.
That sounds impressive. How did Dylan Gabriel look?
I would not be putting stock in Dylan Gabriel as a future quarterback of this team if I were Browns fans. I thought he was probably better today than he was yesterday. But I'm skeptical after watching him for 2 days. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see Sanders practice. Obviously, he didn't practice the last 2 days, so I can't compare the two. But I would be pretty stunned if Sanders isn't considerably better than Dylan Gabriel.
Is it just the height, or is it more than just the height?
I mean, it's mostly the height, to be honest. And look, I'm not a tall guy myself, so I am, you know, props to him for making it to the NFL at that size. But I've covered the Eagles for a long time, and I've seen a lot of Eagles quarterbacks. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks from other teams come in for joint practices, preseason games, all those things. He's got to be the smallest quarterback I've ever seen out on an NFL field. So, yeah, I think it's probably mostly the height is part of it. But I also thought yesterday his accuracy wasn't very good. I do think today he was better. But no, I don't think he is an NFL starting quarterback.
Now, our beat reporters locally here kept raving about the defensive line for the Browns. We're expecting big things. Obviously, Myles Garrett, fifth overall pick, Mason Graham as well. But did they look as dominant as our beat reporters are saying as well?
Yeah, the Browns' defensive line was very good. Now, you know, the Browns and Eagles have practiced in these joint practices a few times over the years, and it does seem like the Browns' defensive line always has a good day against the Eagles' offensive line. Myles Garrett was unbelievable. I mean, the Browns should trade him, like, ASAP as soon as they can. Like, it's just wasting his years on the team. But he was really, really good today. Now, I will say, in the Eagles' defense, not for Myles Garrett, because Myles Garrett was going...
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Up against Jordan Mailata, who is one of the best tackles in the NFL, if not the best. He's certainly in that discussion. Along the offensive line, they were missing a lot of players. Lane Johnson didn't practice today. He missed most of yesterday's practice. They were missing one of their starting guards in Landon Dickerson, and then their other starting guard, Tyler Steen, is a new starter this year. So I would take that into consideration, but no question about it. Like, Jalen Hurts was running quite a bit over the past few days.
Elliot, your QB pass charting takes social media by storm every year here. You've created an entire cottage industry And yet yesterday, you put some Jalen Hurts stats out there. I saw a Cleveland media member doubt the accuracy. We're a fair show here. You give us your time. You give us this insight here. I want to give you time to defend the allegations of people who said your charting numbers were not right yesterday.
Yeah, so I didn't hear it or see it on Twitter, but I can say with 1,000% certainty whoever said it is absolutely wrong. I've been charting every Eagles practice for 10 plus years at this point. I know for a fact my stats were correct. Now, what's funny is the stats were not even good for Jalen yesterday. Now, what he might be disputing is there was an interception that was called into practice and or called into question, and this is what years of experience get you. Like, there are certainly plays where the play looks like it's over because the edge gets to the quarterback, but sometimes the quarterback will continue the play and throw it, and that's where there has to be a judgment call. So yesterday, I thought there was one interception by Jalen that it's possible people in the Cleveland media or whoever you're talking about thought it was an interception, but in my opinion, Jalen was sacked prior to throwing it. So maybe that's what he's talking about. But yeah, there are certain plays that are judgment calls.
That's a fair and balanced report there.
That is,
that's the way you answer the question.
I like that a lot, Elliot.
Thank you.
Did Jalen speak on his interaction with Shador after the practice yesterday?
He did, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I've been covering Jalen his whole career. And as you guys know, Jalen is certainly somebody that lots of people have opinions on, whether he's a top 10 quarterback, wherever he should rank in the league. It feels like he's always talked about. And I've covered him since he was a backup Wildcat quarterback. So it is, you know, cool to see him become a guy that other young quarterbacks around the league are you know, looking to for advice or looking up to, however you want to put it. He said that, you know, he will keep his conversation with Shador private, but, you know, he's always there for Shador and he wants to help out the young quarterback. So, you know, I don't know Shador, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Shador, it's like, I don't know maybe as well as you guys do, but I think it's an awesome sign for him as a person that he reached out to Jalen after practice and asked for his advice. So I know there was a lot of discussion about him pre-draft and, you know, where he should have gone, but that interaction to me, I think, is a very promising sign.
50% of our audience loved that answer and 50% of it hate it. Just so you know, that, because anytime we say Shador, 50% love it, 50% hate it.
That's crazy because I think he's easily the best thing your team has going right now. So if I was a Browns fan, I would put all my chips into him right now and pray that works out.
Can you pass that along to Kevin Stefanski the next time you talk to him?
I will, yeah, next time they have the joint practice. I'll tell him his team won, and then I'll give him some quarterback advice.
He'd like that. He likes compliments.
Yeah, he's open to critiques and advice.
Yeah. He seems always to be pretty open when we do it.
Yeah, always.
all right, so I'm one of the people who think Jalen Hurts should be getting more respect after winning a Super Bowl, but it's not just about that. I watched the Super Bowl where the Eagles lost, and I thought Jalen should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl because I thought he outplayed Patrick Mahomes. So I guess I'm going to try and shoot this one right down the middle. Does Jalen Hurts, in the parlance of Russell Wilson, not cook more because he can't or because they don't need him to?
I think it's probably a combination. I mean, what's crazy about Jalen is, you know, I know he's been in the spotlight for so much of his life, but he's only entering, I believe, his fifth year as an NFL starter. Like, he's far from a finished product as a quarterback. So I think that some of the criticism of Hurts is fair. Like, there were stretches of the season last year where he did not do a good job passing the ball. I think sometimes he can be a little trigger shy. I think sometimes, you know, he stalls the passing game from catching rhythm because he can take a while to get rid of the ball. And that's true. But not many quarterbacks walking this earth at his age have a resume that he does. And that's not just including the NFL. That's obviously college and high school as well. So I think that he is a bit of a complicated prospect or a player, I guess I should say. But to your point, in the biggest games, he steps up. And I can't think of many games like in his 4 years as a starter that they've lost because of him. And I think that really says it all in terms of how good he is.
Did last year's team, did it change or alter your perception on maybe what culture is? Maybe it's already changed along the way, but the idea that, you know, before the season, you got reports wondering after 4 years if him and Sirianni even like each other. And then we saw what happened with AJ Brown and everything during the season. Is any of your viewpoint on culture and whether or not it basically matters to winning a title, did that get altered at all?
Yeah, so I think to a certain degree, culture is just what your win-loss record is. Like, I've covered Eagles teams. I mean, you know, in 2023, the Eagles were 10-1. And going up in, you know, those first 11 games, it was, we know how to win. This is a sign of a tough team. Look how we pull out these victories. Then they lost 6-7, and it's, well, actually, everybody hates each other, and we have to fire the coordinator. So I think culture, for sure, when you're on a winning team, props your team up. And I do think that Nick Sirianni does a really good job of building culture. I think that inside that building, they win all the time. And part of that is because of the culture. But ultimately, when it comes to culture, like, you have to win first. There's not many teams that have losing records where people rave about the culture in any sort of like honest fashion. So I think it definitely just correlates to, it's easy to have a good culture when you win.
The Sirianni stuff is really interesting, Elliot, because there was the initial press conference where it came off like a dodo. And then he's won at such a ridiculous historic clip that has taken some of the sting out of that. But like, there were national media members calling for his job at points last year. And there are still moments where you're like, is this, what's this dude's deal? Like, he just like, I don't want to try and say like paint him as a dodo, but that is the perception of him. How much does a championship change the perception of Nick Sirianni in Philly and kind of around the country?
Well, I think it definitely should. And I think at this point, if, you know, people still question Nick, I don't know if there's anything he can do to ever change their mind. What I would say from covering Nick up close is there's a few things he does really, really well that I don't think get enough attention on the national scale. One is he is obsessive with the little details of fundamental and situational football. Like, I don't think you'll ever see the Eagles offensive play chart or Eagles offensive play design on, you know, a Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan level where everyone's wowed by the pre-snap motion and how he got this guy open. But what you will see is the Eagles will make fewer mistakes than almost every team. They will convert in situational football. And what that results in is winning a lot of games. But the other thing I think Nick is very good at, if you want to circle back to culture, is he is not a power-hungry head coach. And because of that, he has the best GM in football on his side, and he lets that GM do his job. So is it true that Nick wins a lot of games because he has great players? Yes, but when Nick took the job, there's been a few times in Howie Roseman's career where he's been viewed as hard to work with. No one wants to, you know, be his head coach or whatever. Nick has gotten along with Howie, and as a result, he gets a roster that allows him to win. So I think Nick is, without question, one of the top five head coaches in the league, and the results, you know, are back that up.
Do they win last year without Saquon?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, Saquon had one of the most unbelievable seasons you'll probably ever see from a running back. I mean, he got the true rushing record, which is the rushing record that includes the playoffs as well. So he has the most yards ever for running back in a season. Obviously, we saw what he did multiple times, you know, 200 yards, 300 yards. So, no, I think without question, they don't win it without him.
All right, this brings us to the are they contenders or pretenders as repeat contenders?
Sorry, are you asking if the Eagles are contenders?
Yeah, I guess that in the most confusing way. What do you think about the Eagles'
chance? Took me by surprise too, Elliot. I wasn't sure.
I went Dr. Seuss, which occasionally happens with me.
No, it was, sorry for missing that. No, I mean the Eagles.
No, you don't have to apologize. It was poorly worded.
I don't think you missed anything there. I think you got it.
I thought you were going to ask about the Browns, which was maybe. But the
we
Eagles
know they're not contenders.
Winning in joint practice is nice, but I don't know if that translates over. No, the Eagles are absolutely contenders. I mean, it's really hard to win the Super Bowl of the year after, obviously, history bears that out. And I think, you know, there are things they'll have to deal with. Other teams don't. But bottom line, they probably have the best roster in the NFL. I think they almost definitely have the best offensive roster in the NFL. And I still think offense wins, in this league. So I would say they're absolutely contenders.
Elliot, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Keep charting those passes, and we'll tamp down that Cleveland criticism.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you so much. Elliot Shore Parks there on the Fan Hotline, WIP Eagles reporter. We'll react to what he had to say. We got some Cavs news coming in, and of course, the latest on the Quinshon Judkins situation in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I can't believe he was so mean to Dylan like that.
I mean, how could he be so mean to Dylan?
He's rooting for Dylan Gabriel to fail. He's a tiny little guy. Okay, that was insulting when I said that thing. That's a well-timed thing.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's this. Listen, I do understand that there are extreme pockets of Browns fans rooting for Dylan to fail. By the way, there's more people rooting for Shador to fail. As to Switzerland, I can comment on this with pretty significant impunity.
You mean across the NFL, or you mean within the Browns?
Within the Browns fandom. Yeah, there are more people. There are more Shador haters than there are Dylan Gabriel.
So listen, I've
haters.
Seen a lot of Shador haters. Obviously, being
they found you.
Yeah, they didn't take them long. Obviously, so I would be hard pressed to be like, there's not nearly as many. I just don't think people care about the Dylan Gabriel discourse at the same rate.
No, there are people, and honestly, it is a reaction to the Shador thing, and it kind of guys like I was here for the Sashi Wars. I wasn't here for the Baker Wars on air, but I participated in them.
Those got really feisty, too.
The Deshaun Wars. Those blew, but I had them. I was part of them.
No, that was the sad part about the Baker Wars is the realization that it didn't matter. Whoever's the franchise quarterback is always going to have a pocket of detractors here.
But this is not even worth a battle.
Well, and that's, I think, the main point that everyone's kind of coming to when it talks about Dylan.
Like, because, again, I think there's an extreme vocal minority that loves Shador and wants to see Dylan fail. And there's an extreme vocal minority that loves Dylan because they hate Shador and want to see Shador fail. The rest of us are in the middle. The rest of us are not extremists. We just would like, if there's a whispers, prayers, chance in hell, to not watch Kaka quarterback play. That's what we'd like.
Right, but the difference right now is that Shador, you can at least have, if you're talking to your buddies at the bar, you have a defense of Shador Sanders right now. Yeah, that's Friday night. And that's some of the practices that we've seen. You have a defense, a real, actual...
You got one of Dylan.
Where?
They drafted him in the third round.
That's not a defense of his actual play. That's just a defense of where he was taking in the NFL. In the NFL draft. Like that is
draftism is real in the NFL.
Draftism might be real, but that's not a real actual defense that I can bring to an argument that I'm having with a if I'm out there drinking, hanging out with buddies, and the best I got in defense of Dylan Gabriel, he was taken in the third round. I lost that. That's not good.
That's half the first round quarterbacks in the NFL, by the way.
Right, like, but he's got Dylan right now has got nothing to hang his hat on. It's not just Daryl being mean a month ago. This is now every person we bring on. This is Ross Tucker yesterday. This is Elliot Shore Parks today. This is me and you being out there with our own two eyes, seeing him stink up the joint. Like he's got to be the best in-game quarterback ever in order to wipe away some of the things that we've seen throughout these practices so far and some of these joint practices.
Now, there is a part of me that thinks if the only analysis, and this was the crux of the analysis for Elliot, was he's tiny. There's a part of me that's like, well, maybe you just need to, you kind of said something similar yesterday of like, maybe he's just one of those dudes who play well in a game and looks like crap in practice.
Yeah, and if I'm him, I got to hold on to that right now.
But at the same point, like, it's not just that. Like, he's not, like, there's no elite tool. Like, the whole point, the Browns have said elite processing. That does get mitigated. That does get diminished.
Oh, for sure.
If you're 5'9 or 5'10 instead of 5'11. And by the way, even if you're 5'11, it gets diminished.
Every time I bring up the computer processing brain, it's like the number one comment on YouTube. Any of those videos, the YouTube chat loves it.
I just,
because it's such a joke. It's a joke that's the thing that they hang their hat on.
It's just
a third round pick.
It's weird. Like I want to acknowledge, because I tweet about this earlier at Nick Wilson Says, by the way, and on Nick Talk. I said no Browns fans. You should never speak in absolutes. There are Browns fans rooting for either one of these rookie quarterbacks to fail. There might even be somebody out there rooting for both to fail, so you can get your quarterback next year. I will not speak in absolutes. But I do not think Dylan can play as an NFL starter, and I hope to God I'm wrong. I think Shador's ceiling is going to be a really nice functional starter, and I hope to God I'm wrong. Like, there's this idea of just because we don't pamper the ass of every slap-ass quarterback that walks into this town. Guys, I did it for Colt McCoy. I did it for Brandon Whedon.
It would also be wildly disingenuous of us, Nick. Like, we can't be the people that knock him when we watch him play in college and say he's not a real NFL quarterback and then get taken by the team and change our minds while nothing's actually happened in the meanwhile.
I just don't know.
It'd just be wrong of us.
There's a part of this.
You wouldn't trust what we say if we did that.
But there is a part of me that I don't understand. I don't understand fandom or media fandom, as in the case of myself. I don't understand people who subvert their own logic, subvert what they've seen, because, well, it would feel better if I believed Dylan Gabriel was something he's not. Same thing with Shador. Oh, gosh, I hope he's a franchise quarterback. Yeah, me too. That doesn't turn him into Josh Allen overnight. Only thing that does is him practicing his way into playing time. I mean, he plays, playing well enough and showing something more than we saw in college, like every other quarterback we've tried to evaluate in the last 25 damn years. I do not get this, because it's a recent reaction. And I saw it was Let's Talk Browns on Twitter.
Okay.
Browns fans rooting against Dylan Gabriel sure are weird. You're speaking to a vocal minority. By the way, that's happening way too much here, in general.
I don't think anybody's watching on Saturday being like, every single throw, like, I just hope he stinks.
Yeah, guys, if he sucks.
Who's saying that?
I'm going to say he sucks. If he does, if he looks like
garbage. Our job. Our job is to say he looks when he's bad, he looks like he's not a good quarterback.
It's also just the sign of a healthy, functional brain. but you know what? The sun was in his eyes. Like, it's pinned up that there are some people who just want to hear excuses for Dylan Gabriel. How many people have to tell you that they don't buy into this kid? And a lot of it is that micro machine build before you go. It's not hating.
Yeah, and that's what this has been the past couple of days. It's been Ross, it's been Elliot, it's been these guys coming on and telling us this isn't it. And so, if anything, it just kind of confirms what we saw with our own two eyes. And not that we needed it, but, I mean, it's a different setting, the joint practices, up against, you know, playing against your own team and trying to figure out if Stefanski's trying to do this or that. He's just been bad, guys.
Rooting for somebody, in the case of, like, Shador,
yeah,
is not the same as rooting against. Even if there are people doing that, I think, bro, we just got a tweet about this. Somebody was quote tweeting the poll I put out earlier. Do you have a rooting preference between Dylan Gabriel and Shador? By the way, Shador's taking the cake here. More than 50% saying Shador. 38% are saying no preference. But Uncle Grumpy, I don't know why that's funny.
So wait, Dylan got 12% of the vote?
Somewhere in there.
That's not high, which by the way is probably because people have seen him with their own two eyes.
You pointing out that he only got 12% is hating on Dylan.
Yeah, I might be a hater on Dylan.
He's just a little guy. You got to be nice. I might be a hater on Dylan. Watched historically bad quarterback play for the majority of the last 25 seasons, which is more than half my life. I don't care who it is. I just want competent quarterback play for consecutive seasons. So here's the thing. This is the end-all, be-all, everything I want this season to be about. I want Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders or Kenny Pickett, because they're guys who will be here for longer than a year. Mm-hmm. I want one of them to grab the brass ring, surprise everybody, play well enough that we have a really enjoyable season this year. Or I want every single one of these cats to stink up the room so that you get the number one pick next year so we can get the thing that we don't have now and haven't had since Baker, which is consecutive seasons of competent quarterback play.
Here's, I think, the unfair part and why Dylan's only getting the 12% of the vote. I think there's a lot of fans out there that look and see that this was Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and how Stefanski's talked about him, and that's doing Dylan absolutely zero favors.
The lead coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.